Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 514. It's the 29th of June, 2016. On the podcast today, Mark Jones, Chief Executive Officer of Alecto Minerals, that's ticker ALO, talks about their transition from gold explorer to gold producer there in Africa. Also on the podcast, Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. We talk about Brexit and covers smart metering systems, that's SMS. And today's penny stock with potential is suggested by Rocky Balboa. And it's Legendary Investments, LEG. I'll read out the reasons why Rocky's gone with this in a bit.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Mark Jones, Chief Executive Officer of Alecto Minerals, ticker ALO. Currently, share price is 0.08 pence, market cap of 3.58 million. Thanks for coming on, Mark.
Justin, many thanks indeed.
Now, we have spoken before, so and I'm sure the shareholders listening right now, but for people not familiar with the story of Alecto, can you take us through a broad summary of what you're all about, please?
Absolutely. We are a developer on the basis that we have recently been an explorer in West Africa, acquired a new asset in Zambia, and we intend to be a producer next year.
Okay, so you've got sort of projects here in Zambia, Mali, and Burkina Faso, and you've transitioned away from being the explorer to now hopefully becoming a producer in the medium term. Why is that, Mark?
As those who know the market well will clearly understand, the ability for us to fund exploration at the moment is incredibly difficult. And if we did so, we'd be doing so with huge dilution. This is not a time for grassroots exploration. We'd love it to be different, but we have to work within the markets as they are. So 18 months ago, the board sat and decided that continuing to put money into exploration wasn't going to provide the value to shareholders that they were demanding. So we decided to acquire a mature business, an advanced project to allow us to move down the development path. And that's exactly what we're doing.
Okay, so and that's in Zambia, isn't it?
That's the one in Zambia, the historic Matala and Dunrobin gold mines.
Okay, so tell us, what do we know about this, and where are you in the timeline of producing here?
Okay, where we are at the moment is we have a completed feasibility study, we have a mining license, we have an environmental permit. So the key component that's missing is the financing. We announced to the market earlier this year that we have a sort of joint venture approach with a Chinese company who will be our DBO contractor. That's a design, build and operate contractor. And they have taken on board to assist us in getting vendor finance out of China. So the next key bit of information that we hope to be sharing with the market is going to be completion of that process so that we're able to finance the infrastructure and gold plant end of it, the production component of it. And the remaining element, which is the mining side, will be done through our biggest shareholder, Gerald Chapman, who is chairman of the company, is also head of Digmin, a Joburg-based contract mining company. And their role in this will be to to finance the yellow metal to allow us to not worry, I guess, in some ways, about that component. And it makes our job a lot easier, and it de-risks the share, the portfolio for shareholders.
Yeah, and always shareholders are wary or scared of the placing word, you know. And you've recently done a placing to raise what, 665,000, and so that'll go some way to assuaging fears, won't it, of shareholders, I suppose. But where are you on the funding issue there? Are you very aware of dilution?
You know, dilution is something that affects any shareholder, and the good news is that everyone around this table is a shareholder. Okay, so we don't want to dilute if we can avoid it. Our view was the last fundraise should be enough to get us to the point where we can complete the financing and address all the necessary aspects to allow us to get into production next year. So whilst I can't guarantee the future, none of us can, all right? We saw on Thursday just how easily things change. I still have confidence, the board has confidence, that we'll pull this off. And whilst our share price reflects people questioning our ability to do this, from where I'm sitting, I think we're a good bet.
Well, that's music to, I'm sure, current shareholders' ears there, the view there on placings and stuff. So I'm looking through the list of RNSs here, and I can see you've done quite a few joint ventures. Can you take us through some of those, please?
Yeah, the key one, we've got the market most excited than us, is our joint venture with Randgold. Mm-hmm. Randgold took control of our Kansanshi West project. We believe and have always believed this is really good ground, but it needs money to explore. We didn't have that money, but we did have the ability to sit down with Randgold. It took a little while to get them across the table. We're a minnow, they're a big player, but ultimately the quality of the ground allowed us to build on that, and that we announced in February. They're just about to conclude the first season, and if we're able to, we should be providing an update to what they've achieved probably in the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Excellent stuff. And also, it's a recent JV with Karan Gold for the Mali project, didn't you?
That's right. So we have a number of projects. We'd like to keep our exposure on all, but it does demand that we have joint ventures. So we were very proud that we were able to pull off a joint venture on the Karan project. And we're working hard to do the same on our Burkina Faso, the Kibuli project in Burkina Faso.
Okay, so... But I suppose your focus right now is very much on Zambia, is it?
Absolutely. Operationally, that's what we're going to be concentrating on. That's the one that can deliver most to our shareholders. So, watch this space.
Yeah, and you must be pretty happy that the gold price, with all this uncertainty, has rebounded a bit above 1,300 bucks here. And it seems to be, I mean, I can't see uncertainty, leveling off at any point in the near future. So it seems like a good level here, doesn't it? And maybe going higher.
Yeah. Look, we're gold bugs. We wouldn't be in this business if we weren't. And we tend to talk to people who are gold bugs. There's no point talking to a bank or a financing institution that's not a believer in gold. So maybe we're all sort of collectively in the positive club for gold. But the realistic things are is that gold has proved to be a safe haven in times of uncertainty. And the world is in a very uncertain time. And the great news for us is that we have a very positive set of economics on the project at a 1,200 gold price with an IRR of 67% and an NPV of close to $30 million. And guess what? At a 1,300 gold price, that's a whole lot better. So, whoopee. Let's hope things continue as they are.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I'm on social media and on Vox. You're seeing a lot more people in the last few months talking about gold. Get a gold stock in your portfolio, and even sort of the biggest investors in the world right now, George Soros, saying this Brexit will break up the EU, and he's going for gold, and he's going for safe havens like that. So, I mean, there's a lot of good sort of noise surrounding gold at the moment, isn't it? Which makes you happy, I suppose.
Yes, look, the winners last Friday after Brexit was announced were the likes of Randgold, when gold reached a two-year high. And Randgold, I mean, you know, look, they're a great company. And just to remind everyone who's listening, they're also a joint venture partner in Mali. The winners are the producers, so we have to join their ranks. Because guess what? Our share price dipped on Friday. It's been up again this week. But the reality is, exploration companies or even developers don't get the kudos that the producers do. So the quicker we get to join the producing ranks, the quicker we get the same sort of sunshine that they get.
Yeah, I know Jim Cramer, who's, you know, a well-known investor in the US, often says that Randgold is the best gold producer in the world, bar none. So that's a nice little partnership to strike up there. Excellent, Mark. Well, I think it's, you know, you give a nice overall outline there to the story that you've got there. But if anyone needs any more convincing, if you can give us three reasons why an investor should put Electo Minerals on their watch list, please.
Okay. Number one, we're a very small market cap, considering just how many ounces we've got. We've got more than 1 million ounces on the table. We have great exploration assets, which are being managed by great companies from their own balance sheet. And thirdly, we have a wonderful project, which even at a 1,200 gold price provides huge upside potential, let alone a 1,300 or even higher gold price. So I reckon if you're a betting person, don't avoid us.
Yeah, okay. Well, if I hit follow now, which I'm following you anyway on Vox Markets, what's the next bit of news I can expect and when? If you can give, I know you can't give too many specifics, but general.
I wish I could be more specific. The key thing here is the financing, and we don't control those levers. The financiers do. We just do what we can. We've put everything in place. Every time they ask for more paperwork, we're able to do that. They're always pleased with what they receive. I don't control that, but that's something that we're all waiting for, and that's the big go button.
Marvellous. Mark, lovely to speak to you. Speak again soon.
Cheers, Justin. Much obliged.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is CEO of Brand Communications, Alan Green. You're on, Al.
Hello, Jess. Yes, I'm good, thanks. Nice post-Brexit recovery in the markets.
Yeah, well, I did tweet out a sort of chart of the FTSE, and it's now back where it was on Wednesday before the vote. And yep. So it's had a big bounce back. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen these rumours and quite a few articles, and even Zach came on the podcast yesterday and is convinced that Brexit will not happen.
Well, on the subject of that, I was on Tip TV with Zach and Simon French at Panmure Gordon yesterday, and we had a good old chat about where it's going to go from here. And of course, we've got Article 50 has to be invoked before the orderly 2-year withdrawal from Europe happens. That's not yet been invoked. Cameron's resigned, new government come in, may or may not want to evoke it, so we could be in a state of limbo for some time to come.
Yeah.
And it could almost be that, we've had the referendum, let's see how we get on. Oh dear, we're not doing so well. I'll tell you what, let's have another referendum, and we may decide second time round to remain.
It's funny, politics, you know, it's like, if you thought the Conservative Party was in a mess, check out Labour. It's like, who is left there now? Apart from, talk about infighting. You know, I mean, they have managed to, you know, at this time, you know, I'm not a big fan of Jeremy Corbyn. I don't think he's statesman. Like, I can't see him sitting down with leaders of the world. But, you know, if anything, you'd think right now is the time to be stable. But they've managed to shoot themselves in the foot more than the Conservatives have, haven't they?
There is one man waiting in the wings for Labour who would be transformational. I mean, the rest of them are a complete shower in my book, but David Miliband.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think justice will be served, and I think
I can see him as a future Prime Minister. In fact, I'd like to go on to Betfair now and just see what odds you get on David Miliband being the new PM, because if a general election's called and David Miliband throws his hat into the ring, I guarantee he'd win a landslide.
Yeah, well, do you know what?
It would be back to middle of the road New Labour, wouldn't it? I mean, he's a new generation Tony Blair without all the baggage and the WNDs and everything else. And I think he's the most credible politician by a country mile. And I think he's got huge support. I mean, on the Tory front, you've got the Theresa May, who's a possibility. But I mean, the rest of them, really. I mean, you know, there's nobody statesmanlike there. Nobody stands out. Nobody has an ounce of credibility in my book.
Well, you've got... You got here 12-1 on David Miliband. Hillary Benz above him 10-1. Dan Jarvis above him 10-1. Lisa Nandy 10-1. 9-4 is Tom Watson and Angela Eagle 7-4. Wow. So, but do you know what? It's almost like, do you remember when it was the leadership challenge, David against Ed? And Ed was the odd looking one, and he thought, you can't really give it to him. And by, you know, he managed, like a wily fox, to get backing from all the trade unions. He sneaked in and thought, what's going on there? At the time he was odd. He was like a cartoon character from a Nick Park thing, you know, Wallace and Gromit style.
Yes.
And I thought, really? And I thought, really odd. And going back to the Brexit thing, and it's like, apparently someone said, or someone tweeted, that Boris allegedly said, that the only way to get a good deal in the EU, it's like the way we play with Sky TV or with your mobile phone operator. What you say is, I'm leaving, that's it. Full stop.
Yep.
You get the back of the people, and you have to mean you're leaving. And so
it's a game of brinkmanship.
Yeah, I've done this with Sky TV. You know, you have to say you're leaving. And because if you just go there and say, listen, I've seen you doing introduction deals for new customers better than what I've got. I've been with you a year. And so they won't play ball with you at all. So you say, listen, I'm leaving. Put me through the leaving team. And and all of a sudden, a new deal appears. And, the better half there has done this several times with Sky. And we're on a cracking deal. And this is what Boris is doing with the EU. So we're leaving. We're going to get a referendum, which is not legally binding. You know, it has to go to Parliament first. And so, you know, kick the can down the road, get a better deal with the EU, and then say, listen, we need a certain amount of movement of labour in this country. We need, you know, immigration. We do for our economy, you know.
Yeah.
But we will be more selective over that. We've now got a better deal on the table, and I think this could be the way forward, you know. And it'll sort of... Okay, you'll get the people who are outright sort of, bordering on racism, saying, stop immigration. You can't stop immigration. We need it for the economy, you know.
We do need it, and I've said all the way through that the immigration issue has been a red herring. That's not actually what it's about. It is about reforming the EU Parliament, and in the situation we're in now, I agree with you. I think it's a giant game of brinkmanship, but also it's triggered unrest, further unrest in the other European states. I was in Germany, as you know, a couple of weeks ago. Spoke to several Germans there, and most of them were very supportive of Brexit. They want reform in their own country. We know the French want it, we know the Italians want it, we know the Dutch want it. So if there's a series of referendums, frankly, the EU Parliament have got to comply. They've got to alter their stance. They've got to moderate their stance and stop living in ivory towers. Because if they don't, what I could also see is that we could have separate trade agreements and another European community totally independent of the EU Parliament, and that could well happen. But I think you're right. I think it's a giant game of brinkmanship, and eventually the right course of action will out. There will be further controls. There will be reform in the EU. But most importantly, for voters, when they place a vote, it actually means something in the European Parliament. They have a democratic say in how the EU Parliament is run. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, and I think, someone pointed out a good point. That the German, general elections are coming. Is it end of the year or next year or something? The last thing, Merkel wants is to put jobs in jeopardy there. Imposing tariffs on us, and then doing tit for tat tariffs on them, which is their biggest industry, the biggest economy in the Eurozone, and I think common sense, business common sense, will win out in the end for everyone. And like I said, I think this is a bit of a fake bounce. I think we will come a bit lower in the markets because
we will too.
But I mean, it just shows it's almost like that those aren't worth taking advantage of, those big bounces. I did have, like I said, I I did a nice little try. I couldn't have done it better with AstraZeneca. I bought at a week. Yeah. It was £39, and then I had a limit order in it, set £37. On Brexit, on the Friday morning, it dipped down, filled that order, all of a sudden rebounded us at £43. So I'm thinking,
fantastic,
nice.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, but yeah, the initial shock, you know.
I bought Astra some time ago at about this level, so I'm back all square now. But obviously the dividend's been paid since. But yeah, I mean there have been so many great rebounds. Also, I'm very big on BP and Shell. I mean BP is just racing at £4.15, and yeah. Shell's virtually at £20 again. You know, and here we were sort of when it was £12-13, saying, "Oh goodness me, you know, is all going to go to $0 per barrel?" And
yeah. Well, do you know what? I'm just looking at the BBC site now because every time I check on there, a Labour member has left or something. So, but one of the top things is there. So, UK shares on pound continue to recover. That's the top headline in the business section. Then just below that, EU referendum. And the first article is, will Brexit mean more of us holiday at home? And I think, well, just don't worry about the holidays. Everyone's going to worry. If that's the biggest concern we have, I mean, how often do people holiday in this country? 4 weeks maximum abroad, maybe maximum. Yeah. That's not even 10% of the year. You know, there's other concerns. Stop banging on. Don't worry about holidays. I mean, people worry about this EU sort of insurance card you get, or, you know. I always buy insurance when I go abroad anyway. Always.
Yeah.
You know,
it costs
what, 20
yeah.
quid? It's like, yeah. it's not a big deal. And I was looking at, I think...
Well, I have it with a bank account. I have it. It comes free with it. So it's it's part and parcel of it. So
it's not a big concern, you know. People say, what about that? And also, I think it's the World Trade Organization's website. They said the average, I mean, the different levels of tariffs on different sectors. But the average tariff, if you go back to basics, and this is what everyone trades off, if you don't have any agreements, are 1% a tariff, you know, across the entire sector. And if you look at the currency fluctuations anyway, it pretty much wipes that out, you know? These concerns are almost overblown sometimes. And anyway.
Well, I think they are. And I think you know, the resilience in the markets and the way the markets have responded just goes to show that the point that I made prior to the vote, I said I didn't think there would be a huge amount of difference either way. Had we gone with the in vote, we'd probably be seeing a bit more of a rally ahead of where we are now. But the market's crashed, it's created opportunities to buy in, and now it's come back to more or less, as you say, where it was prior to the vote. So here we are, there's not a huge amount of difference. There will be further volatility to come, no doubt, but I think as the government starts to get its house in order and we start to see some real strategies emerge as to how we're going to take things forward now, I believe the market will power higher. I think there's a lot more to come. And obviously, the oil price is going to rise, petrol price is going to rise at the pumps, which is the downside of this, but those holding oil stocks will see a benefit there too.
Yeah, and do you know what? I'm just thinking on a positive level, and I know a lot of young people up in arms about the leave thing. And if anything, if there's a positive taken from this, it's that it's re-engaged the youth when they realise the vote is worth. You know, when a lot of them sat
Absolutely.
Their backsides, assuming the Remain would work, you know, and it didn't. And it shocked them to get off their backside and realise that a vote is worth something, you know. We fought
and it was still only a 72% turnout. I, on an issue like this, you know, I would have hoped for 80%, maybe more. And, you know, that's not unreasonable. But I mean, probably if that extra 10% had gone up, then we may have had the Remain vote after all. Who knows? But either way, it's democracy at work. It's a beautiful thing. And I think many people who've become disenchanted and disenfranchised with the whole political process will now see, my God, if I actually vote, I can really make a difference. Look what's happened.
Yeah.
You know, had I got out of bed that morning, had I not gone out on that 24-hour, 48-hour bender with my mates and got up and voted that day, then perhaps I could have made a difference. And that's how we want people thinking. You know, democracy is a beautiful thing, and, you know, we have to use it. And next time round, whatever we're voting for next time, if there's a general election, let's get this sort of level of turnout at least.
Exactly. Okay. Do you know what? I notice everyone's become a politician, haven't they, in the last
last
week, everyone. Which is good for politics, I think. The more people involved, the you know, a more sort of broader view you get, or a more accurate view of the population, of the cross section population, than when nobody votes. Okay, let's talk about something we know little about as opposed to nothing about, and that's stocks. What are you looking at, Al?
Well, Just, we've spoken about this on several occasions. We last spoke about it on 24th of February. The share price was £3.60, £3.60. It's £4.05 today. It's a company called Smart Metering Systems. Epicode is SMS, which is dead easy to remember. Now, just to recap, Smart Metering Systems is, as the name would imply, they provide end-to-end metering services for electricity, gas, water, data management, and so on. And the stock's done really well over the past year. We've seen lows of £3, 5p. It's been as high as £4.50 this year. In fact, after we spoke in February, when the stock was £3.60, the company issued its results, and the shares have powered higher since then. You've got a yield of just under 1% on the stock, so there's a little dividend payout too. But this is a great capital growth story too. The company said in its results in February that it saw the fastest growing segment of its business as the domestic smart meter market. And since then, it's signed three new deals with Economy Energy, Ecotricity, and First Utility. This is just a steady rollout of the group's technology to the point where it's going to be pretty well dominating the meter market. The company also manages data, and it has that data that's used by its corporations and for research purposes and everything else. But it's a steady growth story rather than a spectacular growth story. But for one to tuck away and to enjoy capital gain and a yield of 1%, this is a great company. It's a really good, strong little company. Brokers support the stock too. Peel Hunt have supported the stock. Canaccord support the stock too. They've both got prices ahead of where the stock is currently now. We've already had a high of £4.50. So next trading statement is due out shortly. If the company's making progress as it is and has done to date, then I think we're going to expect to see further growth. And it's one that if you're watching the chart, buy on the dips, buy on any temporary downside, because the stock will come back and it will continue to grow.
Yeah, well, I'd say put it on your watch list at least and do, you know, your own due diligence. But I'm looking at the last RNS, which is quite good, and it's a Lion Trust Investment Partners, obviously a bit confident there. They've taken 10% of the stock.
Yep, Old Mutual as well. Old Mutual as well have also added to their holding, and so supported by the institutions as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, SMS, easy to remember, and thank you very much, Al.
Thank you, Jess. All the best.
Okay, today's penny stock with potential is suggested by Rocky Balboa. Do you know what? I've met Sylvester Stallone, and he's a very sharp guy. I mean, a lot of people say he's dumb. Well, he's obviously not dumb, you know? I mean, you know, the franchise, Rocky, is phenomenally successful. I saw the latest one, Creed, on the plane on holidays recently, and excellent. I love the Rocky films. Absolutely. Anyway. One of the films I also watched was The Remnant, or The Reverend. Well, it's not The Reverend, is it? The Remnant. Grim and bleak. That's about it. I go with Creed every time. Anyway, Rocky suggests Legendary Investments as LEG ticker. What does the company do? It's an investment company. The company is focused on making investments in and assisting companies which exhibit the potential to generate returns of many multiples through capital appreciation. It invests in small companies that are in sectors exhibiting long-term growth. These sectors include technology, energy, and natural resources, specifically in businesses with potential for high capital appreciation. The company must also have the potential and catalyst for value appreciation, crystallization, and realization. In certain cases, investments may be made in anticipation of receiving dividends. The focus is primarily on high growth economies and companies. The investments will be held for between 1 and 3 years, but may be held for other periods as appropriate. Good info, Rocky. Yeah. How many shares does the company have an issue? 2.7 billion. What's the current price of market cap? It's 0.23 pence, 6.3 million. How much cash or debt does the company have? Recently raised 1 million at 0.3 pence. There's three reasons why you think this company has potential. Number one, 7% stake in Virtual Stock, likely to become a £1 billion-plus company, of which Nick Jenkins, Dragon Den's fame has taken a stake. Also, NHS contracts highly likely, already installed at Guy's Hospital London, and other trusts trialling as part of Carter Report on NHS. NHS former director recently joined Virtual Stock. Legg have the option to increase a stake in Virtual Stock. Current stake would be worth 70 million if Virtual Stock achieve £1 billion value. Current clients include Tesco, Argos, Maplin's, plus new high street majors signed up, but names not released to public. Reason two. Wow, big reasons. I like this though. Recent encouraging results from Manus Gold Resource. Further updates due shortly from RNS Legendary announced in October 2015 that it had acquired a 5.5% stake in Manus Resources with an option over an additional 4.45% stake. Manus Resources holds a license to explore and mine for gold in Saltan Sari in Kyrgyzstan. Do your own research on that one. The license area is located in the gold-rich Tian Shan region and covers approximately 66 square kilometres. Highlights of the programme to date include several bedrock samples up to 4 grams per ton gold within a kilometre soil anomaly. In Area 2, boulder sample grade 36 grams per ton along structural corridor in Area 3. And reason 3, updates due on investment on Bosque Energeticos. That's Bosque Energeticos, is a Mexican biodiesel feed crop producer which aims to become the leading biodiesel feed crop producer in Mexico and the region. Such information there on Legendary Investments, LEG. Check it out. Do your own research. If you'd like to follow the company, just go to voxmarkets.co.uk /company/leg, or just search for Leg on the platform there. And don't forget, these are all investment ideas on this podcast. Some people may hold positions, so do your own due diligence, your own research on these companies, all right? And a good way of doing that, like I said, is adding them to your watch list, and you will get RNSs straight to the front screen of your phone as soon as the company releases them. That's it for the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Much appreciate.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, PayLater, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.